Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Nexco, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Nexco, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? It's David and Isaac. This is Hoop Ball Grizz. I hope you remember us. It's been a while. We took some time off after the draft coverage. We were 2 to 3+ episodes a week during draft season. So we decided to have a little bit of a hiatus, and we are back with a massive franchise-changing trade to talk about for the Memphis Grizzlies. Isaac, how have you been, man?
Man, I've been all right, man. It has been a while, man. And during the draft, man, we were getting it in, man. Like you said, 2 or 3 shows a week, man. Probably covered, I'd say, 90% of the prospects that were thought to be drafted. So, man, we definitely covered a lot, but it's glad to be back, man. And Grizzlies have been busy, man. Been not necessarily any earth-shattering roster, franchise-changing things, but they made some moves, a lot more active than I think we thought they would have been going into the offseason.
Yeah, it's I was hoping for an active offseason. I did not in any way, shape, or form expect it to be this busy. And the thing is, they're not done. They have too many guys. You got to get down to 17. They're setting at 20 right now. Got to figure out what's going on. Are we going to see a trade where they group some people together and go and get a bigger name? Are they just going to cut some guys? How's it all going to go down? And that's what's interesting, is we really don't have a clue because of the way that this front office operates. I saw a guy, he was talking about it, and he said, I see the reference a lot of times of Kleiman's playing chess and not checkers. And he said, the crazy thing about it is with chess, there's so many different strategies that you can play that you have to be 10, 15, 20 moves ahead of your opponent. And it sure seems like Kleiman is doing that. And we, as media members, as fans of the team, we're talking about different guys. There's been a lot of chatter about Ben Simmons. I would love for that to happen. But, honestly, we have no idea what this front office has in mind. So it's going to be fun to watch either way. And it's also going to be tough for us because we're going to talk about some of these guys. We talked about Patrick Beverly and Rondo and that trade. And then, like nobody from that trade. O'Curry is the only one on the roster right now. We just don't know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, and I think what the front office is doing, I don't know if they have a specific target in mind. They might. But I think they're just building up and putting themselves in a position to be ready if something presents itself. I think they're willing to, if something comes along this offseason, it makes a lot of sense. Like we talked about Ben Simmons, and they feel like he can be that third guy with John Jaren, that they'll go ahead and make that move. But I think they're also willing to be patient and wait. I think they're just collecting assets, and when that time comes, they're going to be able to have the pieces to make a big move like that. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing. I don't think it's necessarily, we're doing this to get this specific guy, but I think they just want to be ready when that time comes.
Yeah, and they've loaded up on assets. This the most recent trade with Boston, which is kind of scary to talk about because the history of trades with Boston has not been great. So, but I feel like they done fine on this one. The Grizzlies sent Juancho Hernan Gomez, which he was never destined to be on this team. So they traded him to the Celtics for Chris Dunn, Carson Edwards, and a 2026 pick swap. So I think the pick swap was probably the biggest part of this trade.
Yeah, that's what they were trying to get out of it.
They were saving money as well. I think it was, I can't remember how much exactly.
I saw different numbers, and I haven't actually looked at it myself. I saw some people tweet out like $600,000, but then I saw $275,000 was the number that I saw. And I've seen two different things, but yeah, they definitely saved a little bit of money. And honestly, I kind of hate that because I like Juancho. When you got to look at this roster, I don't necessarily know where he fit, but I've kind of always liked him. You know, I like big guys that can shoot, even though his numbers, he only shot, I think, about 33% last season. So it hasn't been fantastic. That's kind of what he's been billed as, because he's not going to give you much of the defensive end. If he's not making shots, man, he's almost unplayable. But I kind of liked him, and I was hoping he kind of stuck. But from the beginning, you didn't think so, because I think I've read that him and Rondo, they didn't even ask him to take a physical or show up or anything when they made the trade. So that kind of gave you an idea that they probably, neither one of those guys were long for this roster.
Yeah. I want to take a minute before we move forward, and I want to welcome, we've got some new listeners. I was going back and just kind of looking through the past episodes since Steven Adams has come over. We've got some new listeners from New Zealand. So we want to thank you guys. Welcome, appreciate, man, you taking, yeah, the time, listening to us. We will definitely be talking about Steven Adams a little bit more as we get closer to the season. We've got to, we got to talk about who we think the starting rotation is going to be, what the record is going to look like. A lot of predictions coming up here in the near future. We're about 7 weeks away from the start of the season, so we've got some time here, and we'll definitely be doing some player profiles. So thank you guys for downloading, listening, tuned in, whatever you want to call it, and welcome. But let's break down. Let's talk about this Celtics trade. And again, we don't really know, is Chris Dunn going to stay on this roster? Is Carson Edwards going to stay on this roster? Are they going to cut these guys? Are they going to package them? We're not real sure. So we're just going to treat this as if, all right, you have to pick between one of the two, and who are they, which one is going to stay on the roster and why? And Isaac, I'll let you lead us off, man.
Well, the thing about what Chris Dunn is definitely health-wise. I mean, out of the two players, he's definitely proven more in the league. I mean, he's had some pretty good seasons. I think this is this would be his sixth season in the league. And you just got to go back and look at his numbers. I mean, we're going back a few years now, 2017-18. I mean, he averaged close to 14 points a game, 6 assists, 2 steals. I mean, he's a really, really good defensive player, but didn't play much. I don't think he only played in 4 games last year, had a knee injury. And that's kind of the thing with him. I mean, a lot of people said they think he's washed, that he's not going to be the same player anymore. And that's the question. If he could be Chris Dunn from a couple seasons ago, man, you're getting a really good player. Now, the Grizzlies have had interest in him in the past. There have been rumors, I think, a couple times where they were saying that they were trying to trade for him and they were trying to sign him. So, I mean, they have had interest in the past. So I don't know if that has anything to do with this. That just happens to be the players that they got from the Celtics, because they were just doing a salary dump to save money and to get a pick swap. Again, working around the edges like they've been doing all offseason. Or was Chris Dunn a guy that they actually had some interest in and they just wanted to see where he is with the knee injury, et cetera? Carson Edwards is a guy that I loved in college. I mean, I loved him at Purdue. He had a really nice tournament run his last season there. Could score, really, really shoot the basketball. But since he's come in the league, man, I mean, he just hasn't really found any minutes with the Celtics. And I just question his role in the league, because he's kind of a tweener, but he's really, to me, not a point guard at all. At 5'11", he's really a 5'11 shooting guard. And I think that's where he comes into a problem in the league, because he's not a great passer. He doesn't. He's not going to be the guard, shooting guards at 5'11". I mean, that's going to be tough to do. So when you look at teams, especially the way the league's going now, teams want to get bigger on the wings. And I mean, in his numbers, he's only shot 30.1% from three now. I mean, you could take that with a grain of salt, because I mean, a guy that's getting sporadic minutes sometimes, that can attribute to your numbers being lower. If you play more consistent minutes, those shooting numbers might go up a tad, but hasn't really done much in the league. And I just question his size. I know David kind of has a different opinion. We've kind of talked about this a little bit before we jumped on here in the last couple of days. But I just don't know, especially when you look at the Grizzlies roster, because I mean, they're trying to get big on the wing. You had a guy in Grayson Allen who was a little bit smaller, and you kind of see that they kind of went away from him. Now they still have DeAnthony Melton there, and he's kind of in that same vein, but he brings more on the defensive end. And you bring in Culver, you bring in Zaire Williams. I just don't see how he fits and where the minutes would come from on this roster. So I got a feeling that he will not be a Memphis Grizzly for long, but who knows, man? This team's been moving guys in and out. We have no idea what they're going to do. There could be a big trade that happens, and that could open up some spots. And then, of course, that was my fit at that point. Who knows? But as of right now, man, I just don't know if he's a fit on this team.
Yeah, I get it. So the thing that's intriguing for me was his ability to score in college. And we've talked about this on previous episodes about guys that can create their own shot. You know, like he is not a point guard, you know, because of his size, he's going to be kind of relegated to like, that's his role, but he's not a true point guard. He's a scoring guard. The size doesn't bother me that much. And actually, I've got quite a bit on him before I go into him. Excuse me. Before I go into him too far, I want to talk about my concerns with Chris Dunn. And, you know, you go back to that, that 17-18 season that you were talking about. Chris Dunn only played in 52 games in that season. So his rookie year, 16-17, he played in 78 games. And since he hasn't played over 52 games. And so he has had issues staying healthy throughout his career. And then, you know, last season only playing 4 games, and he wasn't effective really in the 4 games that he played last season. So, you know, I was all in on Justice Winslow because of things that he showed prior to his injury problems. I'm not that way with Chris Dunn. I feel like the reason I was so much higher on Winslow was because of his size and what he can do on the defensive end. And Dunn is definitely effective on the defensive end. If he stays on this team and he's healthy, he gives you another guy off the bench that can come in, and he's going to be a plus defender. Bigger on the wing is not necessarily the case. Dunn is only 6'3", but you know, I just, though the health concern for me for Dunn, and he's 27 years old. So it's not, you know, that's not old by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, time window for this Grizzlies team, I don't know that he's a guy that fits it. And especially with the concerns with that knee, you know, I'm not read or heard anything about him this offseason, how he's doing recovering from that. Is he going to be fully healthy coming into the season? But he doesn't intrigue me at all. Wouldn't be surprised if he stays on the team because he is, you know, defensive minded. That's something they seem to like. But I just look at the rosters of the teams that were successful in the playoffs and what they had. The Milwaukee Bucks had multiple guys that can create their own shots. The Phoenix Sun, multiple guys that can create their own shots. The Clippers were the same way. You know, you could go through and just look at all the teams. Utah Jazz, multiple guys that can create their own shot. And the Grizzlies don't really have that right now. Zaire could definitely develop into a guy that can get his own shot. But you have Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks. And in the summer league, it looked like Desmond Bane is going to be another guy you can add to that list. But I just feel like you can never have too many guys that can create their own shot. Carson Edwards has not really gotten a ton of playing time in the NBA. And is that because of the depth in Boston? Is it because he's just not good enough to get the rotation minutes? It's hard to say. It may be that he is not good enough. And I'm fine with that being the case, that, you know, if he's just not good enough, okay. But you go back and you look at his college numbers, and he was in 108 games, he averaged 18 points a game, 3.4 rebounds, 2.5 assists. He was 40% from the field, 37% from three on high volume. And his effective field goal percentage was 50%. He can get buckets. He can score. Is that going to translate to the NBA level? We don't know. We haven't seen it. What we have seen in the games that he has played in his career, he's been in the NBA 2 years now, in the games, and it's a very small sample size, the games where he's played rotation minutes, so 14 minutes or more, that's kind of where I drew the line. In the games where he's played 14 minutes or more, he's 45% from the field, 2.3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 10 points a game. Do I think Carson Edwards makes this Grizzlies rotation? The way the roster's constructed right now, there's not a chance. I don't think there's any way that you see Edwards or Dunn, either one. If either of these guys stay on the roster and there's no other big moves made, you're not going to play either of these guys over over Zaire Williams. They're not playing over De'Anthony Melton. They're not playing over Desmond Bain if he's not starting. You know, you can go on and on. You know, and to be honest with you, John Conchar, I don't know that either one of these guys really deserve playing time over Conchar. And Conchar is just an end-of-the-bench guy. But what he brings to the floor, I don't know that you carve out time for either of these guys. I'm the most interested in Carson Edwards because of what he was able to do at the collegiate level. And as we see, you know, from the guys in the draft and a lot of the guys that we discussed in the draft, it doesn't always translate. And I know that the height is an issue. You have to worry about that when you're looking at defensive matchups. You would have to play him with another guard that was bigger that can guard the bigger guy and just put him on the other team's point guard and hope that he's serviceable. Like, he doesn't have to be a great defender, but I think that he has the skill set to be that popcorn scorer guy off of the bench. And like I said, in the times that he's got rotation minutes, 10 points a game, 2.3 rebounds, one assist, and 45% from the field, those are not terrible numbers for a, you know, end of the bench, like last man of your rotation.
Well, as we look at the roster today, I'd be surprised that if either one of these guys stay, because like you said, there are just no minutes there. I mean, they're already loaded and you got to try to find ways. I mean, you go out and get Jared Culver, and we can talk about that a little bit more in a minute. And I'm interested in his development and could he be a fit, but we got to talk about reasons why that might not be a possibility coming up here. But the reason why I say Dunn is Chris Dunn is a point guard, and there have been thoughts that Tyus Jones has been on the block now before that was pre-draft, whether that's still a thing or not, who knows, but Chris Dunn could potentially be your backup point guard. Now that's assuming a lot with health. Cause again, like you said, I mean, his rookie season played 78 games. That's the only season where he's played even close to the total amount of games. Only played 4 games last year. Now we haven't heard any updates on his health or what's going on there. So I don't know, again, if this was just 2 names like we see with these other trades, and the Grizzlies didn't really care, but they have had interest in Dunn in the past. So maybe this is a guy they really want to get a look at. That's kind of why I would say Dunn out of the two is not necessarily my preference or anything. It's just for a couple of reasons. There is a thought where you could see a minutes opening up if they move Tyus, which Tyus is a guy who I think at the end of the season, I don't see them paying him. I think he's gone. And we've kind of seen this team kind of want to get what they can get out of their assets and not just let guys walk. So if you move him, I mean, I could see Dunn moving into their backup point guard because in theory, on paper, just looking at it in a vacuum, Chris Dunn would be an upgrade to Tyus Jones if he's healthy. But I mean, that's a big if because he just really hasn't been that in his career. With Carson Edwards, I just think, I mean, there's just so many guys that would have to, so much would have to happen for there to be a role for him on his team. I just find it hard to have it. I don't think we're going to see that much movement because, again, they've just kind of loaded up on guys. You were already thinking, I mean, how is Zaire Williams going to get his minutes? And then you go out and get another wing in Culver, and you're like, man, this thing is really logjam now, even after moving Grayson out. I mean, there's a lot of guys there at that 2-3 position that need minutes. So that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Again, as of right now, I would probably, if I had to bet, I would say neither one of these guys on the roster, but who knows? I mean, we've seen this team move guys in and out. Man, I made a joke the other day, like Kleiman's playing 2K over here with some of these moves. But I think there's an end game. I don't think he's just making moves, but that was just kind of a joke that I was thinking. But I think this team is collecting assets, and they're just working around the margins. I mean, squeeze every bit of juice out of the orange that you can. Why not? I mean, I think that's what a smart, proactive front office will do. And that's, I think that's exactly what we're seeing with Kleiman and company right now.
Yeah, I was talking with Sean Coleman the other day, and we were discussing this a little bit. And, you know, as a small market team, that's what you got to do, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to look, you got to, you know, move this piece and this piece and just stack assets. You can never have too many assets. You can have too many players. That's where the Grizzlies are right now. Too many players. But, you know, getting these extra assets, you know, 3 first-round picks next year, and, you know, that pick swap, and that, just, you know, trade after trade after trade, you're seeing there's not really been a trade where the asset management has been bad from Zach Kleiman. There's some that you could, you know, call into question. We're not really going to get into that right now, but overall, he's done very well with asset management, and that's extremely important for a small market team. So we're going to kind of look here. You look at last season, Taylor Jenkins and the staff, they were a 10-man rotation, methodical 10-man. That's somebody was an odd man out. You had more than 10 people that deserve playing time. Somebody was always the odd man out. So right now, as the way the roster is currently constructed, you got Steven Adams, Kyle Anderson, Desmond Bain, Dylan Brooks, Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson, Tyus Jones, Ja Morant, DeAnthony Melton, Xavier Tillman. And I didn't mention Zaire Williams, who I think is going to have rotation minutes. There's nobody that I name out of those 10 that are not, you know, you have, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 guys right now. And that's not including the people that they got in this trade from the Celtics. So still plenty of moves to be made for the Grizzlies. You know, they could have cut Sam Merrill and saved some money. They didn't cut him. So, you know, maybe they cost herself $500,000. The Wancho trade may have been, okay, we didn't cut Sam, so we make this trade and we recoup some of this money from cutting Sam Merrill.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a lot of moving parts to this. And I don't even know what the deadline is. When do they have to have it down to their 17? Do you know what day that is?
Guys, it's sometime this month. I think maybe a couple weeks from now. I think it may be right around the start of training camp or right before. Yeah, something like that.
But so we're getting close. And we know, you know, like we know Killian Tilly, he's on the roster. He's a two-way. So you have another two.
I was going to say that's surprising because he was balling out in summer league, and I was like, man, this is going to be interesting because you got Santi Aldama on a guaranteed contract because they traded up to 30 right there at the end of the first round and taking him, took him, and I was like, man, he's on a guaranteed contract, so he's going to be on this roster barring something crazy, and I'm like, man, you got two bigs that are kind of, I'm not going to say they're the exact same player, but they're similar skill sets. Can you afford to? Especially with a roster crunch, the roster both of those guys. And I was kind of worried about that. I was like, man, somebody's going to offer Killian Tilly a guaranteed deal somewhere, and he's going to be out of here. And I was like, man, I hate to see that because I've always liked him. I think he's a guy that projects long-term to be an NBA contributor. So I would have hated to lose him in that fashion. And they were somehow able to get him on a two-way, man. So good on this front office because I was kind of surprised at that, especially with the way he was playing in summer league.
All right, so I'm sitting here. I've got the Grizzlies roster up in front of me here, and I'm looking at this, and based off of what I think is going to happen, we're looking at Sam Merrill, Daniel Latourou, Yves Pons, and then these two guys from the Boston trade in Carson Edwards and Chris Dunn. Those are the five guys that you have to narrow down to basically two positions, right? Let me 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, 14, 15. Yeah, so you got, you got the two-way contract.
So you could have 17, including the two ways. So right now they got to trim three guys. And real quick, and I've touched on this before, the Sam Merrill thing, and people just, automatic when I talk about this, they're like, oh, well, they just cut Sam Merrill. It's kind of weird because, and you just made a great point that could have been kind of looking retroactively with doing the Wancho Herman Gomez trade, saying, okay, well, if we do cut it, we can get that money back. But Sam Merrill had an option that the Milwaukee Bucks hadn't picked up. And I think it was like the next day after the trade that it had to be picked up. And the Grizzlies themselves picked up that option. And it went from 500,000 guaranteed to, I think, $1.8 or something. So they picked on some money that they didn't have to take on with Sam Merrill. And another thing is they immediately got him ready to send him out to Summer League. Now, I mean, being a good front office, you could just say, okay, well, even if we don't have really plans on keeping him, we're just going to let him play and see if he intrigues us or anything like that. But a lot of times when teams pick up guys like that, you kind of think, oh, well, they don't really think he's going to be on the roster. They're not going to waste time getting him ready, sending him out to Summer League. That just kind of made me think that they had some interest on him being here. By them picking up that option, they immediately sent him out to Summer League. And he got some major minutes out there in Summer League, kind of playing some backup point guard. He had been a shooting guard, but they had him on the ball out there, kind of similar to what we saw with Desmond Bain in most of his minutes. So it kind of made me think that they had some interest on him being here. Now, he could end up in a cut because, again, I mean, you never know what's going to happen down the line. And they made a lot of moves since then, and maybe things change. But that's just kind of something that I've always thought that maybe they did have an interest on him being here.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree with that, man. You know, I don't think that you pick up that money if he's not expected to be on the roster. But then, like you say, there are more moves after that. And so you look at these guys, you look at Merrill and Otoru and Pons, which I don't even think that you have to throw Pons in that because he's not guaranteed, but you have Merrill, Otoru, Edwards, and Dunn, and you've got to decide between those guys. And to me, I think Otoru is the guy, honestly. Like, he's the one that I'm the most intrigued in out of these guys, but it's hard to say what's going to happen with them. And again, you could still see a package deal of them sending a couple guys to get one, or, you know, maybe three guys to get one. I'd love to say that I don't expect that to happen. I think that they're just going to cut some people, but the way this offseason has gone, hell, I don't know what to expect.
And I was going to say, another thing with that is that they can't be packaged with anybody. Like, when you bring in guys, there's a certain moratorium period, and I think it would go into the season, actually. There's a certain amount of time when guys get traded, they can only be traded by themselves. If they were involved in another trade, they can't package.
Oh yeah,
like a couple of these guys that they've just gotten into a trade with others. Now they can trade them just like Hernan Gomez. They traded him by himself, but he ended up bringing two guys back. That's what's so funny about this, because we've been talking all offseason about and so much talk about them needing to trim this roster, and then they go make a 1-for-2 trade. So it's going to be interesting, man. I think there's some end game to this. I see a lot of fans that probably aren't as dialed in as some others, and us in the media are like, man, what are they doing? Like, I don't understand any of this stuff. And I try to explain to them, like, these are more about business. They're concerned on where is he going to fit? I mean, if we bring in this, we got all these guards, and where is he going to play, and he's going to take minutes away. I'm like, you're looking at this too seriously. These aren't moves that they're saying, like, we got to get these guys. That's going to make us better for the season. That's not what these last few trades they made are about. These are about collecting assets and working around the margins. Again, like I said, to squeeze every bit of juice out of that orange that you can. And there's no reason not to do that, man. Use the system. The system works in your favor. If you can get anything positive, no matter how small it is, like we talk about saving $275,000 or a pick swap, if you can make that happen, make it happen. Why not? I mean, if you're being proactive, that's the kind of stuff that you should be doing. But I think a lot of fans are looking at some of these moves and scratching their head like, how are we getting better? And I don't think that's really not the vein that the front office is looking in when they're making these moves, as these moves are going to make us better on the floor this season. That's not what this is really about right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's more, it's been a long-term picture. You know, they mentioned developmental season last season. They stuck to their guns, and this season is going to be more of the same. You move JV and, just to probably see Jaron get more minutes at the five, you know, that's what that move was for. So it's, let's talk about that a little bit. We were discussing that a little, we were talking about the starting lineup, and I mentioned something about Bane being the starting two, and, you didn't think that was going to be the case. Who do you think is going to be the starting five to start the season?
To start the season, I think, of course, you got Morant at point guard. I think shooting guard is going to be Dylan Brooks. I think Kyle Anderson at small four, Jaron at the four, and Steven Adams at the five. I think that's what it will be to start the season. Now, there definitely could be changes throughout the year. I mean, we've seen Taylor Jenkins make some different rotation decisions throughout the season. But I think that'll be the starting five to start the season. And I mean, I think Jaren, again, I think you could see him closing the games at five, definitely. I think you'll see that a lot. But at the start of the season, I think Steven Adams will be your starting center. I think to close the game, you might see Steven Adams off the floor and Jaren there at the five in those closing lineups. But, I mean, you look at – and the JV trade was definitely – again, and I think that's an undersold part of that. I mean, again, it was a lot about moving him. He wasn't going to be – they had no plans to re-sign him at the end of next season. And so you want to get assets for him, and they were able to get their guy, Zaire Williams, and a lot of it – well, it was about getting that 10 pick to move up and get Zaire Williams. But again, a lot of it was to clear space out for Jaren. When you got JV in there, JV's a guy who kind of takes up space in the lane. He's a guy who's good enough to where you have to run plays for him or he's not going to be happy. And Steven Adams is not that type of guy. Steven Adams is a guy who you don't have to run any plays for him. He's going to get his things off offensive rebounds, tip back, stuff like that. You don't have to run any plays for him, and that's going to open up more space, even when they're out there together. That'll open up more space for Jaren to operate. And I think a lot of it had to do with that because they're going to have to pay Jaren a lot of money, whether it's they go ahead and extend him this offseason or it goes into next offseason. They need to see what they have in him. They need to see if they don't do it this offseason, can he stay healthy? I think it's a big question. So it looks like, man, that they might not get done. I mean, we still got time this offseason, but it looks like they might take that risk and go into this season and see what happens. And make the next season, make that extension. But again, that trade had a lot to do with opening up space for him. And it opens up space. Obviously, it opens up space for other guys, too. Some of those points on paper, you think this team's going to be worse. And we kind of say that because you move JV. But I think it's going to open up offensive opportunities for not only Jaren, but for other guys. There are going to be more shots, more points out there to be had for other players. So I think it's going to have a domino effect throughout the team. I think you look at it in a vacuum, and it's just you think, oh, well, Jaren's going to get more shots, but I think it'll trickle down to the rest of the guys as well.
Yeah, I know there's been a few guys that have mentioned they think it's more of a lateral move than a step back, and I'm on the step back side, and I get the mindset behind it being a lateral move. I get that argument, but to me, the one thing that is the most concerning is the stability that JV brought to the offense. If the offense was struggling, you can get in a half court set and get him the ball and he can get a bucket. They, outside of Ja, which, you know, we've seen huge growth from Ja going season one, season two. So going into year three, you see more growth from him. It's going to be crazy. He's going to be an all-star. If we see growth from year two to three, the way that we saw from year one to two, he'll be an all-star. But I just worry about that. And that's, you know, I'm not saying that these other guys can't grow. Dylan Brooks has grown tremendously, and we don't know what Jaren is going. Yeah. You know, he showed in the bubble, he showed tremendous upside. You know, he made that three against the Spurs late in the game. Like, he has all the intangibles. Can he stay healthy enough to put it all together? So while I think that, yeah, it could very well just be lateral, I still think there's a shot that it could be a step back, that their record could be worse this year because of the security that JV brought to the offense, his ability to be on the offensive glass. And, you know, like there's so many things that he was able to do offensively for the Grizzlies that they just don't have. They lost that. And yeah, you're expecting other guys like Jaren, like Ja, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, you know, you're expecting these guys to step up, but I don't know that any of them really fill that role that he brought to the team. And, you know, maybe Steven Adams does it well enough that you don't really notice that he's missing. And you know, just if you see the jump from these guys, hell, it may not even be a step back. They could, you know, leap forward this year. You know, Ja improves, Jaren comes out, he plays the way that we saw him play in the bubble. Desmond Bane looked electric in the summer league. Dylan Brooks is, you know, since this coaching staff has got here, and that's one reason, and I meant to mention this when we were talking about Carson Edwards earlier, Taylor Jenkins his system is good for guys that are not afraid to shoot. And Carson Edwards is not afraid to shoot. So that's why I think that he could thrive in the system. This coaching staff has been phenomenal at developing talent, getting the best out of their guys. And so, you know, I don't know that you can say that about, you know, Edwards' time in Boston. Did that coaching staff do what they needed to do to get the best out of him? Maybe they did, and the best out of him is just, you know, what we've seen, a bench player that doesn't really get that many minutes. But either way, it would not surprise me at all to see them take a step back this year. Obviously, I'm not wishing that. I'm hoping that it's more of a lateral to maybe a slight step forward. But I just think that, you know, JV left a pretty big hole in this offense.
Yeah, I mean, it can definitely go that direction as a step back. But I think it's the linchpin is Jaren. Can Jaren be that guy that we saw a lot for his first year and like you said, into the bubble before he got injured in his second year? I think because the Jaren that we had last in the playoffs and late last season, that's not the guy that you expect him to be.
No,
if he's
not even close,
the guy averaging 19, 20 points a game, which you think that if he's healthy and himself, I think he could be that guy. I think that would do a lot to negate that loss of JV, because I mean, he would make up a lot of those points because JV that he had last season, that was kind of a shell of himself. A lot of the things he was doing, he was basically just a 3-point shooter at that point. It wasn't making a lot of those at most points in the playoffs. So if he's that 18, 19, 20 point per game guy this year, I think that could go a long ways to make it lateral. And you add in growth from other guys, you could even take a step forward. And even with Steven Adams, I think you look at that offense in New Orleans, them playing next to Zion, what did he average, 8 points a game last year? Yeah. There have been seasons where 18, 19, he averaged 14 points a game, 17, 18, averaged 14 points a game, 16, 17, 11 points a game. I think he's going to have a upswing in points per game. I think 7.6 is actually what he averaged last year. I think you could see him averaging somewhere between 10, 13 to 14 points a game on this team, because I just think it's a different kind of team, especially with Jaren not being a fantastic rebounder. I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities for offensive rebounds, putbacks. I think you're going to see that 7.6 points per game number go up. So I think there's a scenario where we see it not being as big of a loss as you think it would be on paper. You just think, man, you lose that guy. I mean, he was pretty much outside of Jai at times, the offense. When this offense couldn't score, you just throw it in to JV, and he put it in the basket. And that was big for this team. But I think if Steven Adams, again, can go up from 7.6, which I think he will, if Jaren is healthy, I think he'll take a significant jump versus what everybody else can do. I think it could be lateral, even a step up for this team. But again, I could definitely see what you're saying, where it could be a step back if those things don't happen.
Yeah, you know, just a lot of things have to fall the right way in order for it to be a step forward. Not so many things have to fall the right way for it to be a lateral movement. And, you know, a lot of things falling the wrong way could be a step back. I like Steven Adams. The one thing that the Grizzlies have that the Pelicans don't have is a guy that could do what Ja Morant does. And you look at Steven Adams, his best seasons were alongside Russell Westbrook, being in that dunker spot down low, Westbrook attacking the rim, defense collapsing, he lobs it to Steven Adams. And we know that Ja Morant can do that. And so it would not surprise me at all to see Steven Adams at 12 to 14 points a game this year, just out of, you know, being in that dunker spot and Ja hitting him with a, you know, getting to the basket. The defense has to respect Ja or he's going to dunk it. And so the defense collapses on Ja. So he just hits Adams with a lob because Adams knows where to be. And it's going to be fun to watch. I've always liked Steven Adams. I like him, you know, as a player, just the interactions I've had with him as a fan, and what he's able to bring. And I like him better on the defensive end than JV. So there's a lot of stuff that I like about him over JV. And then obviously, on the offensive end, he's never going to be a guy that demands the ball like JV did on the offensive end. And so that's something that, you're going to need to see these other guys step it up.
And we've talked about this before, man. When they made the trade, you hear a lot of fans talking about, oh, well, I don't want Steven Adams on this team because he got Sipo suspended for game 7 and all that, man. I guarantee you, man, 2 weeks into the season, he's going to be a fan favorite here. I mean, he fits that if you want to talk about grit and grind and the getting down and dirty, playing hard, lunch pail type of guy, man, he's going to give you 110% every game. He's funny. He's great with the media. I mean, they're going to love him here, man. I mean, he makes a lot of sense as a Memphis Grizzly. And in this, the mantra and the way people like basketball players in this city, he's going to fit in wonderfully. And again, I'm sure he's going to be great with us. Again, he's funny. He makes jokes. I mean, I've always liked him. I like him as a player as well. Like you said, offensively, he's not going to be a guy where you have to run any plays for, but I definitely think he's going to go up from that 8 points per game. And I saw somebody put a stat out this morning. I haven't looked it up to see if it's true, but it said he was number 5 in NBA last year in post-up defense, which he is an upgrade over JV. Some of the analytic numbers say that he's not, but I mean, eye test wise, you could, he's a better defender than JV. I mean, JV struggling to pick and roll, and not that Steven Adams is some pick and roll savant or something, but I think he's better at than JV. So I mean, again, I think the way he plays defense, I think there's a gap there between him and JV. And again, I think he'll go up a little bit from the 8 points a game last year and all the stuff, other stuff we talked about. I don't think it's as big of a loss as it looks like on paper. You look at the numbers that JV averaged last year, look at Steven Adams, and you're like, man, this is going to be awful. I mean, this is a complete step down, but I don't think it might not be as bad as it looks on paper. I think it could be lateral, and it could even be a little bit better, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with you, man. Man, I don't really have much of anything else for today. You got anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I do want to touch on Jared Culver a little bit. I can't even remember. We might have talked about this before, but I like the move to get him, and I understand kind of the thoughts. I think when you look at his situation in Minnesota, the regime that drafted him, it was no longer there. They took Anthony Edwards, and I think they kind of gave up on Culver. I mean, former 6th pick 2 years in, did have an injury last year. I think he only played in about 50 games. So he missed some significant time last year. Numbers really dropped from the first season, averaged close to 10 points a game. And his numbers, don't get me wrong, man, his numbers were bad last year. I mean, what did he average? I got him down here somewhere. 5.3 points, 3 rebounds, 60% from the free throw line, and only 24.5% from 3 and 41% from the field overall. I mean, those shooting numbers are awful. But again, I think we've seen this coach staff. We've talked about that a lot on here, how well they are at developing talent. And that Minnesota organization is just a mess. And again, it was a different regime than the one that drafted him. I just think they gave up on the guy. And I don't think they gave him enough time to develop. Once they drafted Andy Edwards, I think they were completely done with him. And I've heard that he probably could have came back at some point last season, but they just didn't really have any interest. I mean, Anthony Edwards was their guy, so they weren't rushing him back from the injury. I still think this kid could be a player. Now, he might not end up being that because, again, the numbers are bad. Free throw shoot numbers are bad. 3-point shoot numbers are bad. But where I like his potential the most is defensively. I think he has some potential. This front office has talked about wanting to get bigger on the wing. You see him go out and get Zaire Williams. Jared Culver, 6'6", 200 pounds. He's a bigger wing as well. But the two problems with this is it's kind of similar to what we saw with Josh Jackson, is he has a team option that has to be picked up before the season starts. And I have a hard time seeing the Grizzlies pick it up. I think because if they pick it up, it's going to cut, I think, about $8 million into their cap space for next offseason, which kind of cuts that in half. So you're taking a risk with that, especially on a guy that you don't know where he's going to fit or can he develop in anything more than what we've seen. And also on top of that, minutes-wise, where is he going to get minutes at on his team? I mean, we're talking about how trying to get minutes for our current number 10 pick in Zaire Williams, and you bringing him in, I don't know where the minutes are going to come from, and he needs minutes to develop and minutes to see if he can be anything more than he's been the first 2 years in Minnesota. So those are the kind of questions with Jared Culver. When you look at it in a vacuum, I think it's a great move. I mean, I think you're getting a guy that another team gave up on, a former 6th pick only 2 years ago, gives you an opportunity to free look at him. But if he ends up being good, if you can even find that out, then you're probably going to lose him if you don't pick up that option, because somebody else is going to end up paying him more than that, because you're capped on what you can pay him if you don't pick up that option. If he's good, he probably can get more than that. So it's an interesting situation. I like it on the surface, but again, I don't really know how it works out. And again, we're making an assumption that he's going to be here, which we don't even know that yet with the way they've been making moves this summer. So it's an interesting deal. I like the fact of getting a free look for with the guy, but there are some kind of head-scratching questions there with him.
Yeah, I think the rotation is the biggest thing, man. You know, like I have no issue with them taking a look at him. You know, last season at Texas Tech, his last season, it wasn't last season, but you know, he was 18 points a game, 6 rebounds, almost 4 assists, 1.5 steals, and just under a block a game. You know, he's a guy, you know, you don't get drafted that high if you don't have the skill set to be there.
It wasn't like it was a reach or anything. I mean, he was projected to go in that range. So a lot of scouts, a lot of teams thought that he had that type of skill level.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. What was his free throw percentage last year?
Free throw was 60.4%. That's not good. You're thinking about, well, can a guy be a better shooter? That those free throw numbers don't give you any indication of that at all, because that's bad for a wing just at 60%. But he was a better three-point shooter than he's been in college. So it's just weird, man. Again, I just think it's hard for me to trust anything that goes on in Minnesota. I just think they've changed regime since he was drafted. And, again, I really think they gave up on the kid when they drafted Eddie Edwards. I don't think they could care less about his development last year, because you don't move a sixth pick in the draft 2 years down the line if you have any thoughts. I mean, I just don't think they cared at all about his development going to that second year, because, I mean, he had a much better first year. Again, he averaged almost 10 points a game his rookie season, and then went down to 5 and also had the injury. Second year numbers really dipped. I just think it was a process of where they kind of gave up on him, and they basically were giving him away in this deal. So, again, it's a smart move by this front office. I'm just interested to see how it plays out, because the rotation thing is going to be very interesting. And do you send him down to South Haven? It's going to be interesting to see how they play this if he does end up being on the roster.
Yeah, you know, and we still don't really know. Like, Josh Jackson said all of the right things whenever he was here playing down in South Haven. But at the end of the day, was he really happy being down there in South Haven? Probably not.
No. I was actually surprised, because especially being him, and he's kind of had some questionable stuff in the past going back to college. I was kind of surprised and impressed with how well he took that situation. Because, I mean, I think I would have been, as a player that's been in the league and played minutes, and you sent me down to South Haven to play for the G League, I would have been pissed, because that's not the normal type of situation you see with a player that's been playing in the league like he had. You don't usually see those guys sent down to the G League for half the season, unless they've been injured or something like that. Healthy, you just got them down in the G League and don't bring them up. It was always a weird deal for me. Like, I didn't really get that one. Again, I'm sure they had their reasons. They said early on they didn't want him in the locker room, et cetera, et cetera. I guess they wanted him to prove himself, but I don't think he was happy going down. And I'm sure Culver, being a guy that has gotten minutes in the NBA, and after 2 years, I think he probably wouldn't like that either. But we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I hope we don't see another Josh Jackson type.
Yeah, I hope not.
I would rather him not be on the roster than to see another Josh Jackson type thing. Like, I think end of the day, it worked out for Josh Jackson. You know, he got the contract in Detroit, got paid a little bit.
Yeah, man, good on him.
You know, that's something before he came to the Grizzlies, and that went, I think the way that he handled that got him a contract, honestly, because with everything that he had going on out, like off of the court, I don't know that he gets a contract. If he handles the stuff with the Grizzlies bad, I'm not convinced that he may get another contract, but it wouldn't be the size that this one was. It's not like it was a massive, massive deal, but it's still quite a bit of money, you know?
Yeah, especially for where he was headed. I mean, like you said, with his off-the-court stuff, he was probably headed out of the league.
Yeah, so more than likely be overseas playing ball, and you can make decent money over there, but it's just not the same. The NBA is the best league in the world for a reason, and that's where, you know, the best players want to be. I do want to take a minute to talk about mybookie.ag. They're running odds boost right now. The NFL season starts, man, this week. We are 3 days away from, hey, you know, who's the matchup on Thursday? Isaac, you know who's playing Thursday?
A little team called America's Team. The Dallas Cowboys are taking on this. So I heard that the former Super Bowl champs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What'd you say they were?
Yeah, they won this little thing championship last year, but it's a new season, man. It's a new season.
It definitely is. They're returning all of their stars, which is insane. I'm glad that they're doing that. The Buccaneers have been my team since long before Tom Brady came. So I was glad for them to win the title because they've been awful for a long time. But mybookie.ag, they're running an odds boost. And it is a guaranteed win. You have a cap on how much you can bet. It's a $25 max bet, but you will not lose. The way you win this bet is if a team scores a point. That's it. That's all that has to happen. The odds boost is if Tampa Bay or Dallas scores a point, you win the bet. They run these odds boosts all the time. They ran them for college football. There were five or six different ones for the start of the college football season. They'll do some for the NBA. Go over there to mybookie.ag, sign up, use our promo code HoopBall. They're going to match your initial deposit 50% up to $1,000. Go check them out, mybookie.ag. They got a full online casino. If you want to do something other than, you know, sports betting, you can use that. You know, they've got the casino games. You can do that as well. But it is the best online sports book out there. More lines and better odds for the players than any other site. Go over there, sign up, use the promo code HoopBall, and get that initial deposit match.
Man, it sounds like a good deal to me, man. I think you need to go over there and sign up for sure. I think I'm going to head over there and sign up.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, it is. So last year on MyBookie, just if you were disciplined enough that all you done was play the odds boost, it was just under $500 is what you won. If you just played the odds boost.
Go make some money, man. Go make some money.
And it's like you bet the money. Once you bet the money, you win it, you pull your initial deposit out, and then you've got their money that you can use to play on the rest of the odds boost. It's crazy, man. It's an easy way. You're not going to get crazy rich over it, but it's also pretty low risk. And in the case of this, the Buccaneers Cowboys game, it's literally no risk. The game is not going to end in a 0-0 tie.
No.
I wasn't bashing. Listen, man.
No,
not at all, man. I'm gonna be nice today. I give you enough crap about the Cowboys. It's and I've, you know, man, I've had my fair share of watching a team be bad. So, you know, they did win the Super Bowl last year, but once Brady retires, man, this team is going to be awful for a long time again. So I'm not going to, I don't have much to say about it.
Yeah, man. But again, man, shout out to Brady, man. And they nice receiving core out there. I think Antonio Brown's going to have a bounce back year. I think he's going to be well, cause Tom Brady, I mean, that's the reason why he's there. It's because of Tom Brady. I think he's going to have a bounce back year. I don't know if he's going to be the guy he was in Pittsburgh, but I think he's going to be closer to that than he was last year. So, I mean, they're scary. And that defensive, that front seven, man, is nuts. So it's gonna be a challenge for the Cowboys, and they're gonna be right back in that mix again to possibly go back to back. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the Cowboys do this year. They made some nice roster moves. You know, got the defense of Parsons.
Parsons out of Penn State. Yeah,
yeah. You know, like their defense was terrible last year. So you know, like Dak is healthy. You know, you got Zeke coming in healthy. Is he Lamb? Is he practicing again? I know he was in COVID protocol.
Yeah, he's out. He's out now. But I think he's good to go for Thursday now. The big loss, we have Zach Martin is our offensive lineman, is basically the offensive line. I mean, he is important. The times that he's been out, they've been awful. And he's just tested positive, so he's going to be out for Thursday. That is a massive loss. And, I mean, I kind of felt good about a possible upset. But with him being out, Dak, just coming back first real game, I think that's going to be tough for him. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, it's going to be a tough game either way, but I think that makes it even tougher. But I'm ready for it, man. I can't wait. NFL season, fantasy, it's fun, man. The fun times, and I'm glad we're getting started up on Thursday night.
That's right. Football will carry us over to my favorite time of the year, basketball season. So, we like I said, we're about 7 weeks away. Going to have plenty of football to watch between now and then. Guys, we don't really have – I'm going to say we don't have anything else. Isaac, do you have anything else before we go, man?
No, man. I think right now, I mean, we've kind of, like you said, 7 weeks out from the start of the season. Training camp's going to get going here in a few weeks. I mean, it feels like it slipped up on us, man. It feels like it's coming really quickly. But I'm excited. Again, like, I think the Grizzlies will be right in that mix for a play-in again. So maybe we end up in the playoffs again. Who knows? Maybe they take a step forward and even higher than they were last season. So we're definitely going to cover it all here on the Hoopball Grizz podcast. And there's going to be, sure, some news coming up here pretty soon because they got to trim this roster. I don't think they're done with trades. I think we're going to see something else happen prior to the season, whether it's big or a marginal down roster move. We'll see. But I definitely think we're going to have some more to talk about.
For sure. And I will be, I'm going to be doing a ticket giveaway. I have tickets, seats in section 110 row E.
They're live on aisle when the
visitors come out.
Yeah.
So you guys stay tuned for that. We'll be putting that up on Twitter here before the season starts. We'll give away a pair of seats so some of you guys can go to the game.
Yeah, man, definitely, man. Tune in, listen, and find out how you can win those tickets, man. Those are good seats, man. Those aren't, we're not giving out, those not nosebleeds or anything like that. Those are good seats. Like you said, that's right by the visitor's tunnel, man. So that should be a good time for whoever's lucky enough to win those seats. But, man, we got to go ahead and get out of here, man. You can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. You can find my man David Williams on Twitter at DWill2111. And we'll be back soon, man, talking more Grizz again. Sure, we're going to have some news here pretty soon, so we'll be back discussing it all right here on the Hoopball Grizz podcast. Go over to at Hoopball Grizz, give us a follow. We appreciate that. And until next time, we go.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Next, don't give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Let's go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.